Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah, and you're listening to Mystic and Murder, a paranormal, unexplained, and true crime podcast. On today's episode, we will be discussing the haunting of the RMS Queen Mary. It's a luxury ocean liner with a history as vast as the sea. We're going to dive into all things weird and paranormal, but first, let's get into the history behind this ship. The concept for the Queen Mary was initially thought up in the year 1929 by a company called Cunard. At the time, Cunard had a contract with the British government, allowing it to carry royal mail from Britain to North America on a fleet of steamships. Today, the company is known to be a British cruise line. In 1929, Cunard began to plan the construction of two new super ocean liners in order to retire and replace three existing royal mail ships. This new super ocean liner was also meant to transport passengers across the Atlantic in a lavish and luxurious style. Construction began on the ship on December 1st of 1930. At the time, it was referred to as job number 534. The work continued until December of 1931, when the Great Depression caused a halt on the construction of the ship. At this point, the ship was 80% complete. The hull plating was in place, and the ship stood 9 stories high. Though the Great Depression continued, construction resumed in April of 1933. On September 26, 1934, the ship was named the Queen Mary by Queen Mary herself, who was accompanied by her husband, King George V. Now, the story behind naming the ship is a little bit awkward. It's said that it was originally decided by Cunard directors that the ship would be named after Queen Victoria, who was King George's grandmother. In following protocol, the directors went to King George to get his blessing, saying, "We've decided to name the ship after England's greatest queen," and it's reported that the king responded by saying, "My wife will be delighted that you're naming the ship after her." Oops. Anyways, construction on the Queen Victoria, the Queen Mary, was completed in 1935. This 82,000-ton ocean liner was unlike anything before. It was extremely luxurious, and it had forward-thinking technology. In 1936, it won the Blue Riband Award for being the fastest ship to cross the North Atlantic Ocean, and it held that record for quite some time. It was able to cross the Atlantic in just 5 days, whereas other ships would typically take up to 10 days for the same voyage. The ship was equipped to carry a large number of passengers, with the largest being 2,522 passengers at once. All of these things made the ship extremely popular among royalty and celebrities. In its early years, Bob Hope, Fred Astaire, Paul Draper, and Bing Crosby were a few of the celebrities to sail aboard the Queen Mary. In 1939, the Queen Mary was called into action as England and France declared war on Germany. The ship was retrofitted to serve as transportation for troops during World War II. The portholes, or windows, were blacked out. The ship was painted a navy gray for camouflage purposes, and it was dubbed the Gray Ghost for its color, stealth, and speed. The luxurious furnishings were removed and the accommodations increased. The ship, whose highest passenger count prior to the war was 2,522, was now used to transport several thousands of troops at one time. On a voyage from May 11th to the 16th of 1945, the ship made history as it carried more than 10,000 people, which no ship had ever done before. On a different voyage from July 25th to July 30th of 1943, the ship carried the largest number of people ever held on a floating vessel. On board were 943 crew members and 15,740 troops, making the grand total of 16,683 people. It's estimated that the Queen Mary actually transported over 800,000 troops during the war. It also brought home the wounded, and prisoners of war were held in the ship's cargo holds. During the war, Adolf Hitler placed a bounty on the Grey Ghost, offering $250,000 to anyone who could sink it. But the Grey Ghost went undetected. Winston Churchill, the late British Prime Minister, considered Queen Mary as his headquarters at sea. It's where he helped plan for D-Day, and it's where he actually signed the D-Day Declaration. Before the war was officially over, most military equipment and weapons were removed from the ship in April of 1945. All that was left is a 6-inch gun, which remains on the ship today. For those who are unfamiliar with guns, this name can be quite misleading. The 6-inch gun is a huge naval weapon. The 6-inch part refers to the caliber of the gun, which is the gun's internal diameter. I'm not sure why it was decided to leave one gun on the ship, but it's definitely a cool piece of history. Though the war ended in 1945, Queen Mary's duties did not end there. In 1946, Queen Mary made 13 war bride voyages, which transported European women who had married American servicemen during the wartime. These women and their children were brought to the United States to live with their husbands in their new country. The ship's final military voyage was from September 24th to the 27th of 1946. 1947 through 1961 are known as Queen Mary's Golden Years. The ship was retrofitted back to her original glory. The luxurious furnishings were reinstalled, and it was restored for passenger service. On July 31st, 1947, it embarked on its first post-war voyage with 1,897 passengers and 1,280 crew. Celebrities and royalty boarded the Queen Mary yet again. In 1951, Walt Disney sailed aboard to attend the European premiere of Alice in Wonderland. In 1954, Queen Elizabeth sailed across the ocean. Elizabeth Taylor frequented the Queen Mary, as well as the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. Other famous people included Clark Gable, Greta Garbo, Audrey Hepburn, and President Dwight Eisenhower. However, times began to change, and the first transatlantic jet service took place in 1958. People began to fly more often, as it was quicker and much more convenient than a 5-day trip across the sea. The Queen Mary began to offer cruises in 1963, but by 1966, Cunard announced that the Queen Mary was for sale. On July 17, 1967, the Queen Mary sold for $3.45 million to the city of Long Beach, California. If you were to calculate what that would have gone for today, it comes out to be $27,806,070.36. The city had plans to convert the ship into a museum of the sea and hotel. On December 9, 1967, the Queen Mary arrived in Long Beach. It was removed from the British Registry and officially turned over to the city. The Queen Mary opened for vacancy in 1972. The ship lease has been passed on to new owners time and time again because, although it is a popular museum, hotel, and haunted attraction, this historic landmark is extremely expensive to maintain, and it's proven to be a bit of a financial burden over the years. An interesting fact is not only did Walt Disney sail aboard the Queen Mary before it was permanently moored, but the Walt Disney Company actually owned the lease to the ship from 1988 to 1992. They did a few tours during that time, one of which highlighted the ship's paranormal activity and was called Haunted Passages. Disney had big plans to turn the area into a theme park called Port Disney, but that plan never came to fruition. When Disney's lease ended in 1992, the ship closed its doors and reopened in 1993 with a different owner on the lease. Now that we have a little backstory on the RMS Queen Mary, let's talk about all things weird on deck. The Queen Mary was voted as one of the top 10 haunted places by Time magazine in 2008. It still holds its record for being the most haunted ship in the world. Reportings of the hauntings actually didn't start until after it was retired from service and permanently moored in Long Beach in 1967. Many different paranormal teams and investigators have explored this ship, and it's been featured on Travel Channel's Ghost Adventures, Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters, BuzzFeed Unsolved, a British TV show called Most Haunted, and more. The late paranormal researcher and psychic medium Peter James actually used the Queen Mary as a base camp for his paranormal studies in the 1990s. If that name rings a bell, he was the paranormal investigator on the popular television series called Sightings, which aired from 1991 to 1997. Prior to the pandemic, the Queen Mary made the most of its haunted status by offering many different tours and attractions that highlighted the paranormal activity aboard the ship. Currently, these tours are on pause, but if and when things return to normal, these are a few things that you may be able to partake in. There is a daytime tour called Haunted Encounters, which allows people to walk through Queen Mary's most haunted areas and paranormal hotspots while they learn all about the ship's most famous spirits and apparitions. If you want something even more spooky, they also offer a nighttime version of this tour called the Twilight Haunted Encounters. Another haunted tour is called the Paranormal Shipwalk, which takes you through all of the reportedly haunted locations while you learn more about the ship's history. If you're feeling daring, you can even join a paranormal investigation where you'll explore the ship's most active locations, including ones that are inaccessible to the general public. If partaking in a real paranormal investigation is too spooky for you, you can partake in an event called Illusions of the Past. Prior to the pandemic, master magician and apparitionist Aidan Sinclair would present a theatrical seance during this event, where guests would travel back in time to encounter spirits and learn tales of the Queen Mary and witness paranormal illusions like feeling the touch of a ghostly hand or seeing a ghostly apparition. The Queen Mary also offers an experience called Dining with Spirits, where you can indulge like a first-class passenger in Sir Winston's restaurant and lounge before embarking on a haunted history tour. Lastly, and perhaps the most popular event, is Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. This is an annual Halloween haunted attraction where cast members dress up as the well-known spirits of the ship. It features 6 different haunted mazes with hundreds of monsters, live entertainment, and more. Unfortunately, this event was canceled in 2020, and it's unknown if it will take place in 2021. As of right now, it does not look like the odds are in the Queen Mary's favor. So how is it that the Queen Mary earned the number 6 spot on Time Magazine's Top 10 Haunted Places? Peter James, the paranormal investigator and psychic medium, believed that there were about 600 spirits that permanently reside on the ship. Since 1936, there have been 55 reported deaths aboard the Queen Mary, though it's thought that many more deaths occurred as records were not kept for the ship during World War II. The recorded deaths include both passengers and crew members. Some died of natural causes, whereas others died tragically. You'll hear about some of the individuals' unfortunate deaths later on, but first, I want to talk about one of the most historic and tragic events involving the Queen Mary. On October 2, 1942, tragedy struck as the Queen Mary collided with one of its smaller escort cruisers about 20 miles off the coast of Ireland. During the war, escort cruisers were used for protection. These ships would typically move in a zigzag pattern as to confuse any possible enemy submarines. The cruiser was sailing in front of the Grey Ghost, and sadly, the Queen Mary caught up to the cruiser and collided with the ship, splitting it in half. Due to war protocol and the risk of an enemy attack, the ship followed orders to continue on. All they could do was throw life jackets overboard in hopes that it would help the soldiers in the water. Rescuers were unable to get to the sailors out at sea until several hours later. There were 99 survivors, but 338 British sailors were lost when the ship split in half. Some were killed instantly as the ships collided. Others died from the explosion of the cruiser's boilers. If they had survived the collision, it's likely that their bodies were pulled underwater and they died a gruesome death as they were disembodied by the blades of the Queen Mary's propellers. One of the four original propellers remain on the Queen Mary today, and it's said that the screams of soldiers can still be heard near the propeller. Sounds of metal tearing and more screams can be heard in the boiler room and at the bow of the ship where the Queen Mary made contact with the HMS Curaçao. People also report feeling dizzy and anxious near the propeller box, which is an area where visitors can view the propeller underwater. In the propeller room, along with the residual haunting of the collision, people have reported hearing the voice of Captain John Treasure Jones. Investigators have reported hearing and actually seeing the captain in other areas of the ship as well, like the wheelhouse. Captain Jones was known to smoke cigars, and people have said that they can smell cigar smoke in various parts of the ship, but it's reported that the smell is most prevalent in the captain's quarters. The strange thing about this is that Captain John Treasure Jones didn't die on the Queen Mary. He was actually the last captain of the Queen Mary while it was operating out at sea. He took the Queen Mary on her final voyage to Long Beach in 1967, retired in 1968, and died at the age of 87 in 1993. It's thought that maybe once he passed on, he decided to return to the ship in his afterlife because it was one of his favorite places to be. Similarly, it's been reported that the spirit of Winston Churchill has been spotted on the Queen Mary. A housekeeper reported that upon doing her daily duties, she smelled cigar smoke coming from a nearby room. She walked into the Churchill suite to find the Prime Minister sitting in a chair smoking his signature brand of cigar. Then, she claimed that he vanished into a cloud of smoke which went into the painted portrait of Winston Churchill that hung on the wall. It's said that the smell of Sir Winston's cigar smoke can often be detected in or near the suite, as well as the bar, restaurant, and lounge that hold his namesake. Another area on the ship that is a hotbed of paranormal activity is room B340. This is the ship's most haunted room, and there are many paranormal encounters reported in the ship's logs. Guests who have stayed in this room have reported a multitude of things, including knocking on the door in the middle of the night, but no one is on the other side, their sheets being pulled off the bed as they sleep, waking to find a dark figure standing at the end of the bed, the bathroom lights turning off and on by themselves, the sink faucets turning off and on their own, and the bathroom doors slamming shut. Reports of this haunting date back to the final voyage in 1967. In its voyage days, the area that makes up B340 consisted of three separate third-class staterooms. When it was remodeled for the purpose of a hotel, these rooms were combined to make one large suite. Due to the paranormal reports and complaints from the guest, the room was actually closed off for several years. Though guests could no longer stay in the room, the hauntings continued. The room was stripped of everything in hopes that the activity would stop, but still, it persisted. Eventually, it was decided that the room would be reopened for guests who dared to stay there. For those who choose to stay in B340, it comes with some unusual amenities, including a Ouija board, tarot cards, and a crystal ball. One night in this room will cost you $499 and maybe a little bit of your sanity. There are a few guesses as to which spirit or spirits haunt this room. The first spirit is referred to as Samuel the Savage. Allegedly, back in 1948, a passenger became deranged and dangerous to other passengers, crew, and himself, so he was locked away in one of the three rooms that now make up B340. The ship docked the next day, and when they went to unlock the room, they found that the walls were covered in blood. Cruel words had been carved into the wall, and the passenger was found dead, his body ripped apart, and his entrails strewn about. Some believe that he killed himself, while others believe something sinister caused his death. It's also rumored that a staff member was murdered in this room, though there is no historical evidence to support this. It's also said that someone who had drowned in the pool had resided in that room while aboard, but again, there's no evidence behind this claim. There was one documented death in B-340 where a passenger was found dead in his bed from natural causes. There are several other rooms with paranormal activity on the Queen Mary, though none of them can meet the standards set by B-340. Ryan Bergara from BuzzFeed Unsolved actually credits the Queen Mary for being what led him to become a believer in the paranormal. When he was 17 years old and a skeptic to the spiritual realm, he visited the ship with some of his friends. They stayed in room B-484. Upon their arrival, Ryan and his friends attempted to provoke the paranormal, but came up short. When they went to bed that night, he reported being poked in the face repeatedly as he tried to sleep. He initially thought that it was just his friend messing with him, but when he opened his eyes, he realized that his friend was fast asleep. The next morning, one of his friends saw the bathroom sink turn on by itself, so they decided that they would set up a camera to see if they could capture any activity. While recording, a baggie with toothpaste in it seemingly moved on its own and fell onto the floor. If you watch the BuzzFeed Unsolved episode, you can see this clip for yourself. Though the ship has been docked since 1967, it still has a commander. Commodore Everett Horde reported that during a stay in room M001, he experienced something eerie. He and his wife had stayed a few nights on the ship for Queen Mary's 75th anniversary celebration. In the early morning, his wife announced that she was going to go get some coffee. She left the room as he remained in bed. Suddenly, he heard a woman's voice in his ear, as if she were lying right next to him. She whispered, "I'm so cold. I'm so very, very cold." Another room with a haunted and tragic history is B-474. There's no official record of this happening, but the story goes that a family of four was staying in B-474 when the father snapped. He strangled his wife and one of his daughters, leaving their lifeless bodies on the bed. He found his other daughter, Dana, in the bathroom, and he shot her before turning the gun on himself. It's said that Dana roams the ship, and she has been heard crying out for her mother in the second-class pool area. Speaking of pools, another hotspot on the Queen Mary is the first-class pool area, and one of the ship's most famous spirits is incredibly active there. Her name is Jackie, and it's believed that she's about 5 years old. Supposedly, Jackie drowned in the first-class swimming pool. She can often be heard singing, laughing, and giggling, and her apparition has been seen many times. Her voice has been captured on several EVPs, or electric voice phenomenon. There have been skeptics as to whether the multitude of EVPs are coming from the same voice, so a paranormal investigation team called Planet Paranormal conducted a really cool experiment. In one of their investigations in 2009, they captured an EVP of the voice that they believed to be Jackie. They took their EVP, as well as an EVP of Jackie's voice captured by Peter James in 1991, and they submitted the audio to a well-known investigative agency based in Virginia. Using forensic voice analysis software, the agency found the voices to be almost an exact match. The strange thing about Jackie is that there was never a report of a child drowning in any of the swimming pools on the Queen Mary. Of course, it's possible that records weren't well kept, but this little piece of information causes some to believe that Jackie is not actually a little girl, but rather a dark and malevolent presence that's manifesting itself this way. Little girl or not, Jackie is not the only one who haunts the first-class pool. It's said that she also has a friend named Sarah, who's about 8 years old. Just like Jackie, it's rumored that she also drowned in the pool. The apparition of a young woman in her late 20s or early 30s has been seen many times as well. It's said that she's wearing a vintage swimsuit consistent with the 1930s era. Phantom footprints and puddles have been found along the pool's edge, despite the fact that the pool has been out of use for several years due to California code violations. people have reported actually seeing these footprints appear in front of their eyes as if someone had just hopped out of the pool and was walking in front of them. It's also been reported that the spirit of a little boy haunts the passageway to the first-class pool because that is where he fell overboard. Other spirits who haunt the area are Jack and Terrence, who are thought to be World War II buddies. They hang out near the pool together, and EVPs have been captured of their names. It's said that they like to goof around and tug on people's clothes. A spirit known only by Grumpy is said to lurk under the stairs near the first-class swimming pool, and sometimes he can be heard in the boiler room. Why is he called Grumpy? Well, that's because he tends to growl at people. His growls have been captured on EVPs many times. Another famous spirit on the Queen Mary is thought to be that of John Petter. John was a young engineer, only 18 years old at the time of his tragic death. On July 10, 1966, John was working in the engine room when a routine fire drill began. Somehow, he got trapped in watertight door number 13 as it was closing. It's not clear how he got trapped inside, as the door was automatic and should have taken 60 seconds to close. He was found shortly after by another crew member. He was pronounced dead on the way to the hospital. People have reported seeing an engineer wandering around the boiler room of the ship. He's the only male spirit on the ship that is reported consistently. People also report finding greasy hand or fingerprints on themselves after leaving the engine room. Another tragic death on the ship is that of Officer William E. Stark. One night, Officer Stark went to drink some gin, but accidentally drank out of a bottle that was filled with cleaning fluid instead. He became very ill and died a slow and painful death, passing away 4 days later. His spirit is said to frequent the captain's cabin. It's also said that a chef was murdered on the ship during World War II. It's said that he was quite cantankerous and the kitchen crew didn't like his attitude or his cooking. One night, they were fed up with him and shoved him in his own oven and burned him alive. This did reportedly occur during wartime when death records were not kept, so it's unknown whether this truly happened or if it's just an old tale. Either way, the chef is featured during the Queen Mary's annual Dark Harbor. It's been reported that the light switches in the kitchen turn themselves off and on, dishes move on their own, and utensils mysteriously vanish. The hauntings don't stop there. Another well-known spirit is referred to as the Lady in White. Her apparition often appears to visitors, and she can be seen wearing a fancy white evening gown. She's thought to be a first-class passenger, and she's often seen dancing by herself on the ballroom floor of the Queen's Salon, which is one of the first-class lounges. The Lady in White isn't the only high-class spirit on the ship. The spirit of a man simply known as the Dude hangs out in Sir Winston's bar area. He's been seen dressed in a top hat and a tailcoat, and he reportedly likes to sneak up behind people and clear his throat to get their attention. Once he does so, it's said that he disappears through a wall into the men's room. Another commonly reported spirit is called the Blue Boy, and it's thought that his name is Daniel. He gets his nickname because whenever his apparition is spotted, he is dressed fully in blue. He's often sighted on the promenade deck. Other reports among the ship include people feeling their clothing or their purses being tugged on, door slamming, drastic changes in temperature, and a sudden smell like the cigar smoke that I mentioned earlier. Some tourists have reported feeling like they were even being strangled. Others report hearing voices when no one is there. Knocking and banging sounds are common occurrences on the ship. Commodore Everett Horde had another story about a time when he was alone somewhere in the bowels of the ship. He said that he was a little bored waiting for a tour group to arrive, and he immediately thought, "Wouldn't it be funny if..." And he knocked to the tune of "Shave and a Haircut." Immediately, he heard... He said that it sounded as if it were coming from the other side of the wall. He checked around and he was indeed completely alone. On the episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved, they recreated this. After knocking, they immediately heard the ship creak twice. Coincidence? Who's to say? Other staff members have reported paranormal activity as well. Three employees tasked with cleaning the Mauritania room found a woman sitting on a chair alone in the middle of the dance floor. The employees asked the woman to leave, but she just stared at them. As they began to call security, the woman supposedly vanished in front of their eyes. Although the ship is closed due to COVID-19, the managing director still acts as a caretaker for the ship and sleeps there 5 nights a week. He says that activity has increased and spirits are now more active than ever before. Perhaps the most haunting thing of all is the future of the RMS Queen Mary. In March of 2020, the coronavirus pandemic caused the Queen Mary to close its doors to all visitors. In the beginning of the pandemic, they were doing a virtual live stream called the Ghost Ship Live series, where they were conducting a paranormal investigation every Friday night, but that eventually came to a halt. The official Queen Mary Facebook page hasn't been updated since June of 2020. The hotel, museum, and haunted attraction has yet to reopen, and it's unknown if it will ever open again. Before the pandemic, the ship was already in desperate need of repair. The last time the ship was inspected, it was estimated that over $200 million in repair is needed. According to the Los Angeles Times, the ship is at risk for sinking within the next 2 years. So, with things starting to return to normal, why wouldn't the ship open again? Well, the company who currently owns the lease and runs the Queen Mary filed for bankruptcy in March of 2021, and part of its plan to restructure includes selling their lease to the RMS Queen Mary. With it being in such a state of disrepair, it's unknown if anyone will be willing to take on a project that has proven to be a financial burden and needs $200 million in repairs right off the bat. The Long Beach City Council held a meeting just last Tuesday on July 20th, 2021, to determine the fate of the Queen Mary. At this meeting, they came up with 5 options. First, preservation in place. This means that they would make the necessary repairs to try to maintain and preserve the ship as it sits moored in the same place it's been for the last 54 years. This option means that the Queen Mary is here to stay for as long as the city can foot the bill. Initially, it would be about $25 to $50 million to preserve it, and $5 million annually to maintain it. This would likely mean that the Queen Mary would be around for at least another 25 years. If they were to preserve the ship and dry dock it, it means that the ship would be preserved for probably the next 100 years. However, the cost changes quite a bit, and the initial cost ranges from $200 million to $500 million if they want to go the dry docking route. Options 2 and 3 involve deconstructing the ship, whether it meant deconstructing it where it sits or moving it first. Option 4 involved making sufficient repairs to the ship that would allow it to be towed to an overseas recycling facility. And lastly, option 5 is to take the ship to the middle of the ocean and let it sink. Options 2 through 5 all exceed over $100 million. That's right, even sinking the ship and allowing it to become an artificial reef means spending big money to do it. Not only would these options cost that much, but it would also mean losing out on all revenue that the Queen Mary was bringing in from tourists around the world. One council member suggested that the city push for the ship to become a national monument. This would mean that it becomes operated and funded by the government, and the city would no longer be financially responsible for maintaining the ship. This idea could take years to put into place. As we know from previous inspections, the Queen Mary may not have that long to wait. Other ideas included developing the areas around the ship to bring in more revenue. Proposed ideas included a casino aboard the ship, a theme park outside of it, and more. Whatever happens, I sincerely hope that the city is able to save and preserve the Queen Mary. It has such a magnificent history, and disassembling or sinking the ship would truly be yet another tragedy. That's all for today's episode. New episodes of Mystic and Murder will be posted every other Sunday. Tune in, follow, and subscribe on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Mystic and Murder. You can send in an email to mysticandmurder@gmail.com with suggestions, requests, and even personal spooky stories. If you like what you hear and you want to support the podcast, you can go to www.patreon.com/mysticandmurder. You can click support at anchor.fm/mysticandmurder, or you can make a donation at paypal.me/mysticandmurder. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you sleep tight. Remember, all things weird lurk at night.